Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back as we get into hour number two of the program. If you're tuning in looking for Cardinals baseball, well, you're not going to get it tonight because they were rained out in Chicago. Instead, a traditional doubleheader is going to be coming up tomorrow afternoon as they'll play game one at the originally scheduled time of 1:15. That means our coverage at 12:20. Check that, 1:10. That means our coverage at 12:15. They'll play the first game. They'll have about 30 and 45 minutes, probably closer to 45 minutes between games, and then the second game will indeed get underway. So we've got doubleheader baseball tomorrow and a full sports open line tonight. We've been talking a whole lot about what it's going to look like and what they should do in terms of starting pitching tomorrow.
This is breaking news from St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Oh, baby, here we go. Got some news for you when it comes to tomorrow's pitching. Derek Gould has reported that tomorrow, originally, if you remember, the original plan was for the Cardinals to send it to the mound tonight, Sonny Gray, and then Eric Fetty tomorrow. Well, that is not going to line up that way. We've been talking about it a whole bunch. The way it is going to line up tomorrow, according to Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Eric Fetty is going to start game number one. And in game number two, the 27th man for the doubleheader is going to be right-handed pitcher Michael McGreevy. McGreevy is getting the start in game number two. He is pitching on 4 days rest, so a traditional fifth-day start for him, which he hasn't really done this year at Memphis, but it's still not like it's super short rest or anything. You would think there's a chance he might be on a little bit of a pitch count, but who knows? But there you go. Michael McGreevy indeed is going to start game number two of the doubleheader tomorrow. I talked so much in that last segment before the news about using the 27th man for the doubleheader tomorrow as an opportunity, and this is an opportunity to A, get Michael McGreevy in there for a start, and B, give everybody that day off. And there's been so much talk about how the Cardinals have kept their starting pitching healthy this year, trying to utilize essentially a six-day rotation as often as possible, utilizing the off days when you have that, utilizing a sixth man when you don't have off days and everything. So this checks both these boxes. I'm excited. And this can probably afford you three McGreevy starts in the month of June because they can then return him to Memphis with it not counting against his clock where he has to spend the amount of time that he has to spend down in Memphis, and then he can return for another start later on in the month, which is what, if you've listened to Oliver Marmol talk recently, I think he was asked on Gas House Gang this past Tuesday, if I remember correctly, I think he was asked about whether or not they would go back to a six-man rotation, and he said that they've got it pretty much mapped out and that that is a likely thing later on in the month. So in many ways, this is a benefit to this team, to what they want to do when it comes to utilizing starting pitching. They are able to do this. So Michael McGreevy is going to start the second game of the doubleheader tomorrow. And I'm very happy about that. I'm really, really happy about that. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do. Sonny Gray, by the way, he gets pushed back. And so he'll pitch this weekend against the Reds. I don't think they have announced yet when he is going to when he's going to pitch. I like this for a couple reasons. First off, with all due respect to the Chicago White Sox, having Fetty pitch against a team that you're right next to in the standings, that can be a more impactful moment. It also buys an even a little bit more rest for Sonny, because he's coming off a start his last time out where he was frustrated. And he's somebody of all the guys out there that kind of have a routine to getting ready for their start. Sonny's got a routine to it. He goes through a lot. Not that, look, if you needed him to pitch tomorrow, he could pitch tomorrow. It would be fine. But in a perfect world, it's not something where he went through his routine to get ready today. And I'm not talking about like literally going to the bullpen and throwing before your start. He didn't do that. But everything else that you do throughout the afternoon leading in, he did that. It's not a perfect scenario to have him pitch tomorrow. So instead, you push him back. Maybe he goes, I would think likely he goes Friday. That's what, just push him back, past tomorrow where he would go Friday night against Cincinnati. That seems to be a logical thing, and everybody else gets pushed back as well. And if you do that, then the rotation would likely go Gray on Friday night against Cincinnati, Pallante on Saturday, and then Michaelis on Sunday, and then the Cubs roll into town on Monday, and that's where you would go with Liberatore. And at some point during that Cubs series, that's probably where you would utilize Michael McGreevy. So if McGreevy's pitching tomorrow, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you could pitch him either Wednesday or Thursday against the Cubs if you wanted to do that and bring him back up. So that's where things are at right now. If you've got any thoughts on that, you can certainly come in here. Walt's not a big fan. Walt's been messaging us on the video stream. We're always streaming this show on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. If you're watching, there's this weird glare behind me, and I look like a ghost right now, and I don't know why. So hopefully, maybe that's good. Maybe holy forces are around me right now, protecting me. Maybe that's what's going on. But Walt is not a big fan of it because of the shorter rest. Again, it's not, we need to watch how we use this term, I think. It's not short rest in the sense that it's 4 days rest. And in a standard five-man rotation, that's the rest that you get. At the same time, it is short rest in the sense that McGreevy has basically pitched on more than 4 days rest just about every single time out this year. So that is something that he hasn't done a whole lot of. So that's why I think there might be some sort of pitch count restrictions. And look, he was pushed in his last start pitching against Gwinnett. On Saturday on the road against Gwinnett. He threw 89 pitches. So that's a fair number. I mean, that's about what he's been throwing. In his starts in May at AAA, he threw 90, 92, 90, and 94. Then his next start at AAA, that was that game where they pulled him after 4 1/3 at 75 pitches, knowing that he was going to make his next start at the big league level. But yeah, that's I think it's a good decision. I think it's a really good decision, and I am excited to see what Michael McGreevy can do. So this is taking advantage of the opportunity that you've been given by having the 27th man that you're able to utilize tomorrow. So that's a good this year. Yeah, we have been critical at times of the Cardinals on some of their decisions that they've made. And I'm not saying that I agree with every single decision that the team has made this year. There's certainly some things that I don't completely, totally understand. There's some things that I would tweak. But man, give credit where credit is due. The Cardinals have used common sense in their decisions more so this year than I can think of in recent years. And it goes back to some of the things that were done in spring training. It goes back to the start of the season and having Lars Nootbaar in that leadoff spot. Even now, like they had a fantastic opportunity when they made the decision to pull Lars Nootbaar out of the leadoff spot. They had a great opportunity to just put Mason Wynn there. And my contention is that Mason Wynn doesn't make a whole lot of sense as your leadoff hitter right now, that you can get more out of him. And I think what we've seen from him in the two spot shows that. He's been really, really good there. So what have they done? They've taken a guy like Brendan Donovan, who does profile out as somebody who should be able to succeed in the leadoff spot. He has fantastic on-base percentage. We saw him with the four hits yesterday. They put him there. And Donovan's going to be the leadoff guy until Nootbaar gets right. So I think, you know, the decision to go with Victor Scott II and eventually move on from Michael Ciani and put him at AAA. You know, they were doing kind of that wacky thing with the defensive closer there for a little bit. But at some point, the roster just didn't make sense anymore with Ciani on it. And they didn't go try to do something wacky. They did the common sense thing, and they got Ciani to AAA. Like, that's sometimes in recent years, it felt like they've not always been the best when it comes to common sense decisions. And I think they have been really, really good in those areas this year. So I commend them for that. And I think McGreevy starting tomorrow makes a whole lot of sense. We'll talk with Jacob Sersosimo. You see him on Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest. He joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back at it on KMOX, a Graybar Sports Open Line, an unexpected Graybar Sports Open Line because we were expecting Cardinals baseball tonight. We don't have that. They were rained out in Chicago against the White Sox. They'll play a traditional doubleheader tomorrow. Don't get many of those anymore. More often than not, split doubleheaders, but they'll play a doubleheader of a traditional variety tomorrow. 1:10 first pitch for game one, 12:15 for our coverage, and then game two will roll right out of game number one with 30 to 45 minutes in between. Right now, happy to welcome on to the program. You see him on Channel 4. You see him on Matrix Midwest. He is our friend, Jacob Sersosimo. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Sersosimo. Jacob, always good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. Thanks for having me on once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Breaking news of the last like 20, 25 minutes is the Cardinals are going to utilize their 27th man for the doubleheader tomorrow to bring up Michael McGreevy, and McGreevy is going to pitch the second game tomorrow. They'll push Sonny Gray back. He'll pitch in the Cincinnati series. That also gives you the opportunity to pitch Gray in both the Cincinnati and Chicago series. So just general thoughts on this news here. First, you know, McGreevy starting a game tomorrow, and also the way the rotation sets up now even a little bit better for the next week or so with a couple divisional opponents coming in.
Yeah, I really like it. Honestly, this year, if you're going to say we're going to give young people and young players a chance, like they've done with Victor Scott II, like they've done with Jordan Walker, like they've done with some of these players, then you might as well do it with Michael McGreevy too. I actually heard Ollie Marmol say on one of your guys' shows on Tuesday, the Gas House Gang, he said something about some of these other players coming up, and he's like, for who, though? Who are they coming up to replace? And I think this is a perfect example of a need for Michael McGreevy, but I think that's a fair question. Even when you look, I think he was talking about position players,
yeah.
But it also works very well with guys like Michael McGreevy, right? He's a starter-type guy, but you've already gone to six starters at one point this season. You also have Steven Matz kind of up there in the chamber as well. Like, where do you put Michael McGreevy? You get a doubleheader, and you have a busy month of June after this, the second half of June going into July. This is a perfect time to bring up Michael McGreevy, I think. And I think when he gets up here and he gets his shot at the big leagues, I think he's intentional enough, and I think he is prepared enough to keep getting these shots at the big leagues. And if this is what they said they want to do this year, is give these young guys a shot, then I think this is a perfect example of giving a young guy a shot and continuing to find spots that you can bring McGreevy back up to the big leagues to get him innings. And that's exactly what they seem to be doing tomorrow.
Yeah, and if they want to run it this way, and we'll see if it plays out this way or not, because with it being the 27th man situation for tomorrow, that doesn't count against the required time that he has to go spend at AAA Memphis between big league stints. They can bring him up for the one game tomorrow, and then they could potentially bring him up again 6 days later, and he could make back-to-back starts now, because I know they want to go back to a six-man rotation at some point in the month of June. So it just seems like a really good opportunity to get him back up here. You were almost gifted a bonus start for McGreevy with this doubleheader tomorrow.
Yeah, get him as many innings in the big leagues as possible, right? McGreevy's not going to be necessarily your answer for this year. You've kind of gotten your good answer of a young guy for this year, or young guys, I should say, with Liberatore and Pallante. But moving forward in your organization, you want who's the next big thing coming out of the minors. And it's going to be Michael McGreevy. You look at Tekoa Roby and Quinn Matthews, some of those guys are going to take a little bit longer. But this is Michael McGreevy, a guy that you've had in your minor league system for some time now, a guy who's kind of been trying to earn his stripes and get up to the big leagues. Get him as many innings as possible this season. I'm a firm believer in that. When you have opportunities like this, I'm not saying take innings away from guys that have gotten their innings deservedly so. Liberatore, Pallante, those guys. You don't need to replace McGreevy with those guys, but when you have a chance like this, bring him in all day, because as many innings as he can get in a big league stadium, the better for the future of this franchise.
Yeah, speaking of pitching, yesterday we saw for Matthew Liberatore looked a lot better. 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits against the White Sox. He held velocity from start to finish. And I don't know about you, but especially when it comes to pitching, some of the, you know, a Liberatore, even though he's been a big leaguer for a while, he hasn't been asked to start every fifth day at the big league ever, and he has not been asked to start every fifth day period for a while since he was a starter coming up through the system. So you get a little bit concerned when maybe there's a red flag that pops up. It's only one start, but it really feels like yesterday was a good moment for Liberatore, as he seems to be trending back in the direction of who he was earlier in the season.
And I also acknowledge that it's against the White Sox,
yeah,
but I do believe that your assessment is correct. When you're dealing with, I think, putting these guys in a situation to play, not necessarily 162 because they're a pitcher, but pitch throughout a 162 type season and do this every fifth day, I don't really care against who it is or who's it's against, as long as these guys can get the confidence back. And when you're a big leaguer and you're younger and you haven't done a lot of this before, I think just getting confidence back is key. And that's exactly what Libby did yesterday on Tuesday, was able to get back out there and pitch 6 innings. I think a big worry with him of the last few starts was when he left that one game with fatigue issues. And they came out and said it was fatigue. And a lot of people are like, it's pretty early in the season, or it seems pretty early in the season if you're going to go the entire season as an every fifth day guy to have fatigue issues. Well, they kept throwing him out there, and, you know, he went through a bumpy road, but then he comes and throws another six innings on Tuesday. So I think it's as much as you like to, you know, some people will be like, it's against the White Sox. It's against a lesser team that's not very good, the worst team in the AL. It is a good step in the right direction being able to go out there for six innings and throw against big leaguers and have success. Because at the end of the day, they still are big leaders. At the end of the day, he needed some confidence back, and he absolutely got that on Tuesday.
So this is something we've been talking about a lot. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. When guys are struggling, and the Cardinals have had a bunch of guys struggling at the plate recently, how much do you think that the correct answer is kind of just waiting it out, continuing to put them in the lineup, give them the opportunity to work their way out of it, and how much of it is giving a guy a break? Lars Nootbaar is now getting a break. He's been taken out of the out of the leadoff spot. He was not going to start today if they would have played. Obviously, they're taking their foot off the gas. Everybody going to get to that point at some point. The struggles continue. But where do you stand on this? How much leash do you give struggling players?
Man, it really is a fine line, isn't it? How do you manage guys that are really struggling? And Lars Nootbaar obviously is the most pressing situation that we have right now when it comes to the Cardinals in this. And they give him 3 days off, and then he comes back and doesn't have a great game. And then they, according to what they put out on Twitter, they were giving him the day off again today. So I think what's working in their benefit is they've already come out and said, this is a year that we want to give a guy a leash. Now, to your question of how long is that leash, I think that leash can be really long this year. I really do. You're not the Dodgers. And I mean that with all the respect to this team, but they've already come out and said that. So I think you can give a guy quite a bit of leash. Now, I think where the question really comes is every guy is going to be – it's going to be so individualized. And that is just what we as media or people as fans – don't really know. Like, Ali Marmol talks to these guys every day. Brown talks to these guys every day. He knows exactly what these guys need and how they work. Some guys just need to bat through it. I remember last year when Arenado was going through a slump and he quit taking batting practice, or he would take, like, he has this thing that he does that gets him back out of a slump. And he does that because he's an all-star and he has done that for so long. Well, some of these young guys are figuring out what they need to do. And I think right now you give them that leash to figure out what they need to do to get back out of a slump. Is it stop taking BP on the field? Is it, you know, switching cleats? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, it's baseball. Guys do things. But I think you give them that leash to figure out what they need to do, because right now you're not necessarily a World Series team.
That's interesting you say that. I've told this story a couple times. Yvonne Herrera, a week ago or so when the team was at home, we were talking to him in the clubhouse, and it was as BP was going on. We're like, oh, do we need to talk fast? Do you need to get out there? And he said, I'm not taking BP today. My swing is getting a little bit long, and I know when that happens, I actually need to take less swings. Herrera knows himself to a point where he realizes when stuff's getting out of whack, he actually needs to swing less, not more. Other guys, if stuff gets out of whack, go into the cage and take hundreds of swings until you get it right. That's, for me, that's one of the really cool things about sports and high-level athletes, is how everybody's got a different path to get where they want to go.
And I think right now we're going to figure out what Lars Nootbaar needs to do. I think when Lars Nootbaar comes back to Busch Stadium on Friday, I can guarantee one of the first questions, either before or after the game, if he plays or not plays, is what do you got to do to get back to the Lars Nootbaar that's really good at the top of the lineup? And I think the good part is you've been in the clubhouse in there. Lars Nootbaar sits right next to Nolan Arenado, and they're good buddies. And Nolan Arenado's been through this many times in his career and knows how to get out of it. So I think he's surrounded by a lot of good guys. But you mentioned it. Like, we just haven't really talked to a lot of these guys on what they need to do to get out of slumps. And some of them are young enough where maybe they haven't had as bad of slumps as they might see in the future, but that's part of being in the big leagues, and they just need to figure it out. That is a really interesting point, though, you said about Herrera, because it is ironic that I said it.
Yeah, absolutely. He is Jacob Sarsasimo. You see him over on Channel 4 KMOV, also part of the Matrix Midwest team. They are doing amazing things, adding more and more local sports coverage to the television airwaves here in St. Louis, which is great. And you know what? We just got done with the French Open. Jacob, give a plug for your tennis podcast, because I know for the tennis fans out there, I'm sure they would enjoy being able to hear that.
Yeah, two quick shameless plugs, I guess, okay, since you're giving it to me. You said Matrix Midwest. The game on Friday is actually over the air on Matrix Midwest, Channel 32 and Spectrum Channel 6. So since you said it, and we're talking Cardinals, you can actually watch Friday's game at home against the Reds on Matrix Midwest. I do a weekly podcast with the Believe Network. It's called BLEAV. Matt Pauly knows this very well, because we sit next to each other in the press box sometimes. But I've been a tennis fan for so long. I grew up playing tennis. I played college tennis. And once the majors roll around, I am watching a ton of tennis. I actually podcast every week throughout the entire year. So I follow tennis pretty religiously. The French Open was outstanding. The men's final was outstanding. And I'm really looking forward to a Wimbledon. It's already clay season. So I'm going to put my predictions out here in a little bit, not recently, but here in a few weeks, about what we think Wimbledon's going to be. But I think some of these players at the top of the men's game are going to be pretty intense going into the grass court season in England.
Who's the young tennis player on the men's side right now that nobody's talking about that we should start talking about more and more?
You're starting to hear more and more of him right now, but his name's João Fonseca, and he's out of Brazil. He's young. He's like 18 years old, but he's kind of burst onto the scene this year. He's sponsored by On, and so there's not a lot of athletes sponsored by On. It's him and Ben Shelton on the men's side, which on the tennis side is a huge Roger Federer thing, because Roger Federer's in on that brand, on the big running brand. But João Fonseca, he wears On gear. That's how I'm going to tell you to look out for him. But he hits a really heavy ball. He hits the crap out of the ball. He's kind of a bigger dude. Right now, when you go to slams, he's out there on court three, four, five, or six. In a few years, when that guy gets to be about 21 years old, I think you're going to have to pay the big bucks to watch him in Arthur Ashe Stadium or some of these big stadiums, because, boy, is he an up-and-comer, and he's playing really, really good tennis at the age of 18.
He is Jacob Sarsasimo. Again, watch him over at Channel 4. They've got the Cardinals game on Friday night. Sonny Gray might be pitching in that game now. We'll see once they officially announce it. But, Jacob, appreciate the time. We'll see you at the ballpark real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for letting me talk a little tennis as well.
You bet. Absolutely. Jacob Sarsasimo joining us here on the program. He does love tennis. And so for the tennis fans out there, there is another resource for you when it comes to tennis content that you might want to consume yourself. We'll take a break. We got nothing but Cardinals from here to the end of the show. If you want to chime in on anything, we'll give you the opportunity to do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or you can leave a message on the video chat, and we'll get to those as well. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for another 20 minutes or so before we get out of here for the night. Cardinals, White Sox not playing tonight. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. Too much rain in Chicago, so unfortunately unable to get to the game. Teresa texting in says, bummer on the rain out. I saw the wall of water heading towards Chicago, but good deal on the pitching lineup for tomorrow, specifically to the news. If you missed it, Michael McGreevy is going to start the second game of the doubleheader tomorrow. Eric Fetty will go in game one. Sonny Gray is getting pushed back to the Cincinnati series. They have not yet announced what day of the Cincinnati series he would go. They lined it up, Pallante, Michaelis, Liberatore during the Cincinnati series. I would think that Gray's likely to pitch on Friday, but no official announcement on that quite yet. If you want to give us a call, you can do so, 314-436-7900. Let's grab our first call of the segment. John has given us a call. Hey, John, you are on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt. I'm confused. Why they're not having a day night doubleheader tomorrow? How are they going to pull this off?
First off, they're not. The rules behind it is it's in the collective bargaining agreement that you can only play so many day night doubleheaders throughout the year without getting player approval, and the Cardinals have passed by that number. So that's part of the reason. I also think if you're from a Chicago standpoint, they're not worried about attendance or anything, so they can go ahead and do it. But what are you concerned about pulling off?
No, that's the part.
Okay.
You know, Chicagoans are going to stick around for both games if they can.
They'll sell beer through all nine innings of the first game, that's for sure.
I know, I haven't seen this since the old days. I'm an old man, and they used to have, back-to-back doubleheaders all the time. But you just don't see it anymore.
No, you don't. I appreciate the phone call, John. There was one last year. I think it was a Busch. I know it was a Busch Stadium. I remember it because I was doing the between game stuff. So there was one traditional doubleheader last year at Busch Stadium. I have no recollection of who they were playing against. I just remember it did happen. Teams normally like the split doubleheaders because you're able to have two separate gate openings. So from a ticketing standpoint, you're able to make the most money that way. Again, I don't think they're worried about that too much with the White Sox, considering their attendance and also the rules when it comes to the amount of doubleheaders you can play and how long the players are being forced to stay at the ballpark longer when you've got the split doubleheader. So that's why there's the rules when it comes to that. Larry's given us a call. Hey, Larry, you're on Sports Open Line.
Good evening. I don't know who made the call, whether it was Mozeliak or the field manager, but it's a great move. You get Sonny Gray set up to pitch two games at home, whereas if he pitches tomorrow, he only gets one game at home.
Yeah, and
you got the Reds who...
Yeah, I must finish what you're about to say. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but against Cincinnati and Chicago, too. Like you get not only two games at home, but two games against divisional opponents.
Well, you're tied with Cincinnati and you're seven behind the Cubs, so you get two shots there. That's a good move.
Yep.
McGreevy's pitching again. McGreevy, this is a good spot for him to pitch, and this Chicago team's terrible. They've won 23 games. Their defense is pathetic. One last point. Contreras had no business stepping back into the baseline. When a pitcher goes to cover first base, the first thing they teach you is you go parallel to the bag so you don't have any collisions with the runner, or you don't get hit in the back of the hamstring and you're sitting on the bench for 2 or 3 weeks. He could have very easily, that could have happened. So he's going to learn as he goes. And Hoskins was right. You don't step back into, you don't do it. It's a no-no. That's how it is.
All right, Larry, appreciate it. I don't think anybody has said that Contreras played that well. I think there seemed to be the insinuation from the Brewers that it was something that was done purposefully. I don't think it was. And I thought that they were a little over the top in the way they responded. But you're right, like, that was a mistake by Contreras. I'm not trying to cover up the mistake there. That was a mistake by Contreras. It wasn't a huge step back, but it was just enough. He's learning. He's learning first base. He has played it at a really high level this year, considering the fact that's not something he's really done in his career. So I give him all the credit in the world. There was a mistake made by Contreras in that I think the Brewers reacted in a way that was a little bit over the top. Let's grab Randy, who's given us a call. Hey, Randy, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yeah, good show. I'm going to ask you a question. What is this team's identity? The Cardinals used to be known for defense, tight pitching and clutch hitting, but I don't understand. This team is all over the place. What is their strength and what is their weakness? And are they going to be sellers at the trade deadline?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Randy. Right. I think their strength is defense. That's a for sure deal with this team. They are, by many metrics, they are the best defensive team in baseball. And that is something that they stand by and they are very proud of. So that would be the first thing I would say when it comes to who they are. I think they're a team that is relentless. I think they're a team that doesn't give up. I think they are an incredibly flawed team. I think they're a team filled with guys up and down the roster and up and down the lineup who don't have an incredible track record of success over 162 games outside of really Wilson Contreras. But guys that you can be really excited about. You can be excited about Yvonne Herrera. You can be excited about Mason Winn. You can be excited about Brendan Donovan. But it is a team with an identity and a DNA that's going to continue to develop. I think that is when people look at this team and say, who are they? I actually think that's a legit question. And it's developing. Anytime they essentially made the decision this year when they let Paul Goldschmidt walk, when they declined the options on Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, when they entertain the idea of trading Wilson Contreras and Sonny Gray, even though those guys said they didn't want to be traded, and when they attempt to trade Nolan Arenado, what you're saying is this team belongs to the young guys. Now, Wilson Contreras is still here. He is a leader on this team. Nolan Arenado is still here. But in many ways, who this team is, it's built around the younger guys who are not just, some of these guys have been asked to, they've been asked to be big parts. Like I would not be truthful if I was telling you that Brendan Donovan hadn't previously been a big part of the team. We know who Mason Winn was and what he did last year. Obviously, Lars Nootbaar has been impacted by injuries, but he's somebody who a lot has been expected of them. But now, in addition to a lot being expected of them, they're the leaders. They're the central key part of this team, and that's what we're figuring out now, what a team like that looks like. But I do think this team has – I said this the other day in almost a negative sense when I was talking about that final game of the Milwaukee series, because I loved the fact that this team – seemingly always has some sort of rally going in the ninth inning, whether they're able to finish it off or not. They don't pack it in for the night, right? They are a team that's always going, and I really appreciate that about them. I thought that final game of Milwaukee, man, they had to find a way to get that run in. They didn't do it. So I was a little bit more dismissive of them in that situation because I was disappointed that they didn't push across a run. But I love so much that this team has a bunch of group of guys that until they've lost the game, until they're taken off the field for the night, they don't give up. And I know, like, I hear myself talking and I sound like this like rah-rah cheerleader. That's not what I am. That's not what I'm doing. That's the truth about this team. They're not a perfect team. They have less than a 50% playoff probability. I think they can be a playoff club, but it's not going to be easy. They're going to need some help. But they are a team that keeps going and going and going, which is good. One more phone call before we break. Daryl has given us a call. Daryl, I got a quick moment for you. You're on Sports Open Line.
Well, if you want to comment on the other side of the break, I'm fine with that. To give you context, last year I was yelling at my radio saying Contreras needs to go because I looked at him as a defensive liability at catcher. The reason I bring that up is to say this. I'm wondering why people are just skipping over his name when it comes to first base all-star consideration. Who else is he going up against in the National League? Because I think he's been a very big surprise defensively and about what we expected offensively. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, certainly appreciate it. There's some other guys out there. I mean, you think of Freddie Freeman is obviously in that group. I haven't, to be perfectly honest with you, and I probably should, I have not compared his numbers to other first basemen in the National League. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. I'll come back. We've got just a couple minutes left in the show after that. We'll go over some of those numbers and where Contreras stacks in terms of his first base production. We'll do that in just a moment as this is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the program. So if you were listening to us a moment ago, we just got a phone call about Wilson Contreras stacked up against other first basemen in the National League in terms of all-star candidacy. And I would also, the one thing I would say about Contreras is when you remove basically his first week of the season, his numbers look completely different. But we're going to look at the entire body of work as we finish things off here. Because it was, to be perfectly honest with you, I really liked that phone call because I hadn't really thought about comparing Contreras. Say that three times real fast. Comparing Contreras with where he's at. So let's go through a few different offensive categories and we'll tell you where Contreras sits. When it comes to OPS, you hear me talk about OPS a lot. That's the number one number I normally look at for a guy. Contreras is actually tied for seventh in the National League. There are 12 qualified first basemen in the National League this year so far, and Contreras is tied for seventh. He's actually tied with Rhys Hoskins from Milwaukee, which there's a little bit of a humor that goes along with that. His OPS is at 748. Pete Alonso, who is clearly the most productive first baseman in the National League so far this year, is number one on that list at 954. And then you have Freddie Freeman, Micah Busch. Also in there, you got Josh Naylor from Arizona. He's coming in at number four. Matt Olson from the from Atlanta comes in at number five. Bryce Harper qualifies at number six. And then you have Wilson Contreras at number seven. All good numbers, but obviously first base is an offensively driven position. So that's why you're going to have that. When it comes to batting average, Contreras is actually ranked number nine. I'm not a big batting average guy, but we're just looking at the different numbers. Batting average at 248, he is number nine on that list. Freddie Freeman leads the way at 333. Naylor is at 307. When it comes to home runs, Contreras, he is pretty far down that list. He's number six, excuse me. So I guess he's not as far down as I thought he was with number nine. Pete Alonso is leading the way as he has 17 from an RBI standpoint. Contreras is number three there. Alonso and Naylor are the only National League first baseman with more RBIs than Contreras. So on base percentage, Contreras is number eight. Freeman, Alonso, Harper, Naylor, Busch going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Contreras' all-star candidacy in terms of comparing his offensive numbers against other first basemen in the National League, maybe not quite as good as you might think on the surface level when you do actually compare it. That's a really interesting question. I appreciate that call a lot and good to be able to look at some of those numbers. All right, that's it for us today. Cardinals doubleheader tomorrow. Coverage begins at 12:15. Be tuned in tomorrow for a lot of baseball here on KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.